I'd like to focus in on a couple of films, but before I do that, you did something which did not get released. It was actually quite fun. It was called Return of the Musketeers.
Oh, it didn't get released even? I didn't want to do it. I really didn't want to do it. I knew sequels were not good, and I didn't like the script. And finally, they offered me so much money, and reduced my time on the film to about 2 weeks. So I did it, but it was a very uncomfortable. It was massive deja vu. We had the same costumes with same cast, same everything, practically the same story as the original Three Musketeers, which was a joy to do. And I was not unhappy that it was not released.
Well, Roy Kinnear died during the making.
That
of
was
the film.
Terrible thing, and it was, I suspect, the product of carelessness. He hated horses. He was terrified of horses. It was in a long-distance scene that he didn't even have to be riding in, and he was killed, and it was a terrible, terrible loss. If you want to really hear about that, ask Michael York sometime, because he was there. Roy Kinnear was a very funny, very sweet man with a family and everything, and it didn't need to happen. It was tragic, especially for a junk film.
You also worked for 6 months on Shogun.
Six and a half, actually.
6.5 months.
In Japan,
With Toshiro Mifune.
Yeah.
Living in Japan at that point, as time went on, I guess, did they film that one in sequence at all?
No.
No. So you had to jump back and forth.
Yes.
How is that, when you're working on a project of that kind of length, jumping from, particularly since your character changed so much, and you were changing, having to live in Japan that much?
Yes. Well, you just do it. It's one of the fascinating tricks of film acting. Going to the funeral of the person you haven't killed yet, or the wife you haven't met yet, or doing a love scene with somebody that, you know, that you just met that morning. It's a technique that becomes kind of unconscious. You've studied the script. You know where your character's going. You haven't experienced a lot of those things yet, actually, on the set with the other actors, but you know where it's going. And, of course, the director can be very helpful. But it's a fun Chinese puzzle to try to put together.
How surprised do you get in those situations? I mean, where the other actor just does something that's completely unexpected. Can you recall any incidents?
The famous incidents in Petulia, which I wasn't involved with, when I arrived on the set, Richard came up to me, Richard Lester, the director, said, "You won't believe what I got yesterday." He used to keep the cameras going all the time and do close-ups when you thought he was doing long shots and all that. And there was a scene between George C. Scott and Shirley Knight where he has a bag of cookies and he lobs it onto the bed during the scene. Well, in the first take, Shirley Knight was turned away from him, and he threw this bag of cookies and it exploded on her back. And unbeknownst to anybody, Richard had a close-up camera on her at that time. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't break the scene, but she was totally lost for a while and turned around and of course, moments like that are pure gold in cinema. You just long for moments like that. And Richard was like a little kid about that. Those things like that do happen now and then. Mifune was always startling, just because he was so great. I can't think of a particular instance, except when he was riding in on the horse, but I don't know if you have time to tell that story.
Well, that was when he just rode in as fast as possible, stopped on a dime.
Yes, and I knew he was afraid of horses. Are rather uncomfortable on them, and I thought we were all dead. He came in at such a clip.
Most people I know, despite what they might say or, you know, politically or whatever, they would love the kind of success you had, and even to be able to find out that it's empty on the other side.
Well, it wasn't empty, but it wasn't everything. It wasn't enough. It wasn't love. It wasn't open-heartedness. It wasn't freedom.
And now, if you went back, is there anything you would do really differently other than, say, talk more to these famous stars?
Yes, that is one of the things I would definitely do. But mostly because I've come to this realization that I'm not a bad person, deep, deep down into my bones. And the sense of freedom about that is so wonderful that, in a sense, I wouldn't have changed anything. For instance, my relationship with my father, which was exceedingly difficult, I wouldn't have changed that because I learned to forgive him and I learned what forgiveness was. And I even learned to love him, which is an amazing happening in my life. Probably most things happen for a reason. Not everything, but most things.
And you've been in a long-term relationship, though you can't get married.
Yeah. Isn't that peculiar? So we build, we love houses. And our financially and everything, we've worked together for so long, 26 years, and it's going to come to fruition in this wonderful house we're going to build. And if I kick the bucket, he's got to move because the government steps in and takes half our estate because we don't have the husband-wife contract.
If you had a choice and there were like a couple of roles in theater that you could just do right now, what would they be?
Well, I might do Prospero. In The Tempest, anything zany, anything flamboyant, anything character-ish and fun and kind of loose, I would like to do.
Do you ever see yourself doing series TV again?
I could imagine that, especially if it was shot in Hawaii. I could imagine that if I didn't have to carry the show and if it was a really interesting, fun part.
Richard Chamberlain, you have any intention of writing another book?
I'm going to keep writing because I learned so much doing it. There's something about sitting down at that blank page and having to think carefully enough about something to make it worth writing down. And I found that seemed to attract insights. The process seems to attract insights. And I like insights. And so I'm going to keep writing. But whether it turns out to be another book, I don't know.
You ever want to tackle fiction?
I don't think so.
Because?
Because I don't think I'm creative in that way. I can't imagine creating what you're going to interview Margaret Atwood. I can't imagine creating a whole world and peopling it with these fictions whom you invent and who then take on life and tell you who they are and all that. I can't imagine being that brilliant.